Them try clip we wings, some of we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica. Roast breadfruit and banana. Under the tree with a glass of lemonade. Jumping on the river when me ready for paid. No boy can't buy me out. Me no foreign minded. No way compared to Jamaica. Jamaica.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, listeners. Yes, it is me, Andrew D. White, the advocate, at a new time, 6 p.m., new time, but the issues that we talk about remain the same. It's 6 p.m., December the 10th, 2017, and you are listening to The Advocate on www.talkjamaicaradio.com/listen. Come December 1st, we will be merged, and you may download the new app, and I'll give you the information at the top of the hour. Now, listeners, for this 1 hour, we will critically discuss issues of crime, corruption, good governance, justice, the environment, and of course, socioeconomic growth and development. My aim, listeners, is not to tell you what to think or what to talk about or what to believe, but my aim is to discuss the issues based on the facts, and then, listeners, for you to arrive at your own informed conclusions, because I think that is how we get a better Jamaica, when we can sit down, we can analyze the issues, and we can talk it out. For those of you who would like to join the discussion on The Advocate this afternoon, please call in on 343-4913 for those of you listening in Jamaica. And for those of you listening overseas or overseas line, 239-444-8161. Okay, listeners, before I start on the substantive issue, which is going to be crime for the most part today, and that 119, that massive drug guns and ammunition find earlier in the week, I want to start with some breaking news. And it's not good. Again, it touches on crime. Both the Gleaner and Observer Online are reporting that gunmen a short while ago attacked mourners at a funeral at King's Chapel on Windward Road in Kingston, killing two people and injuring seven others. The victims were attending the funeral for Romaine Anthony White, 30, when gunshots rang out. The gunmen reportedly traveled in cars and on motorbikes. Mourners reportedly managed to corner one of the attackers and rained blows on him. He was, however, rescued by the police and has been taken to the KPH where he is in their custody. White, a higgler, was stabbed to death more than a month ago on Beckford Street in downtown Kingston in a dispute over a parking space. Chief Executive Officer of the Kingston Public Hospital, KPH, Errol Green, said two of the victims were taken into surgery and the others were being treated in the accident and emergency area. Meanwhile, Senior Medical Officer at the KPH, Dr. Natalie Wiley, said the incident resulted in additional surgeons and nurses being summoned for duty. In addition, Wiley said four emergency theatres had to be opened. Usually, on a weekend, we have one emergency theater that's open. We had to open four to ensure that the hospital can respond to what is taking place, she said. We have also mobilized the emergency laboratory services because we need additional resources, including blood, Wiley said. Now, listeners, we're under siege. We're under siege. We're a country under siege. From ammunition, from massive guns being shipped into barrels to cause mayhem, right? To drive-by shootings, to you're at a funeral, mourning, right? And according to the reports, gunmen in cars and on motorbikes. So this is a caravan, right? And you know, I was earlier this morning when I read the Gleaner. There was a story in the Gleaner saying that for the month of October, the management and staff at the KPH are celebrating because of, they think, 141, I think the figure was, about that. Victims, gunshot victims that came in, there were no fatalities. So they were able to save everyone, right? And I was celebrating it, and I bigged up the management and staff at the KPH who work under trying circumstances surrounded by volatile communities. In a very stressful job, a lot of times without the necessary medical equipment that is needed, right? And now we have this. And I try every day, listeners, not to fall into despair. I really do. But is it beyond the state, listeners, to keep us safe? Right? Is it beyond the state? Because I wanted to have a discussion. I wanted to devote 30 minutes to crime and 30 minutes to economic growth, because a lot of good things are happening in the economy. But I'm going to continue, because I want to another one, listeners, right? The police in Croftsheel, a small rural community in northern Clarendon, are probing the circumstances surrounding the killing of a 43 woman whose body was found along a dirt road in a section of the community called Good Hope. She has been identified as Eliza Mills, otherwise called Marcia, a domestic helper of Good Hope. Residents came across her body at about 7:50 this morning, and the body had a stab wound to the neck. The police are trying to find the killer. Now, when you look in the traditional newspapers and on social medias, it is all about killing. It is all about mayhem. You see a dead man found on the roadside in Greenwich, in Greenwich, Westmoreland, an unidentified man. The Darlington police are investigating the killing of an unidentified man whose body was found along the roadway in Greenwich, Westmoreland, yesterday, right? The police said the reports are that at about 11:40 a.m., the police were alerted to a man seen laying on the ground, and the body is believed to be in its mid-30s, dark complexion, medium built, about 5 feet 6 inches, so about my height, and was clad in a red and green cap, white shirt, multicolored shorts, and a pair of black slippers. And he had a gunshot. The body had a gunshot wound to the head. Right? Let us come off this dreary business of reporting how many Jamaicans have killed ourselves. And I want to focus on the investigative arm of the JCF. I want to, first of all, big them up for taking down the Terrence-led gang. Earlier in the week, listeners, I'm sure you would have heard that ACP Fitzbailey announced to the nation that a dangerous gang, I would call them terrorists, who were spreading mayhem across 7 parishes in Jamaica, including St. Anne, Clarendon, St. Mary, were basically dismantled. And some of the crimes that they're accused of, listeners, are bone-chilling and frightening. And of course, the allegations include rape of children and adults, arson. In one case, they robbed from a man or terrorized him, and he was dubbed an informer by the gang. And they went somewhere, I guess, to deal with him, but they went to the wrong premises. So it was a case of mistaken identity. But that didn't stop them. They tied up the man that was there, tortured him, and set his house ablaze. Luckily, he was able to escape, and I hope that he is strong enough mentally to go and give testimony in court against these gang members. We heard about a man who bought a coaster bus, and after buying the coaster bus, it was stolen, and then They went back and he bought another bus and they went back for the bus, for the other bus. Right? You heard, listeners, the allegations are that this gang, this Terrence-led gang, went and stole a Mercedes-Benz. And then they went back to the same premises and stole the name, what, another high-end vehicle. I'll tell you the name, Range Rover, right? A man lost 900 pounds of chicken meat that they stole. In one instance, they tied up the family, raped the woman and children. I mean, when you hear the allegations, and remember, listeners, these are allegations, and every Jamaican, as far as I'm concerned, deserves to be clothed in the presumption of innocence. So it is up to the state investigative arm, so that would be the JCF, and the prosecuting arm, which would be the office of the DPP, to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row and that they bring the strongest case possible so that it can be adjudicated in a Jamaican court and the chips fall where they may. Right? Also, listeners, according to ACP Bailey, the gang has stolen over $400 million. Can you imagine? That's a corporation, you know, listeners. That's not a gang. That's a company, a limited liability company. Because according to statements made by Fitz Bailey, right, listeners? A lookout who will be, you know, looking out and making sure that they to watch how the lay of the land is, gets up to $150,000 for that job. There was clear division of labor. So some people are shutters, some are lookouts, some are rapists, that's their specialty, and some would use welding torch to cut off the grill. And what broke it? Intelligence. And this is what people much more qualified, including the former commissioner of police, Owen Ellington, to my mind, and I can only speak to when I, you know, I became conscious as an adult or a young person, but to my mind, the best commissioner we have had in recent memory, very smart man, has been, you know, advocating intelligence-driven policing. He was very successful during his tenure, right? That is what you have to do. You have to outsmart them. Because brute force has not worked for the 40-odd years of having this kind of eradication unit and Operation Kingfish. That is not what does it. Intelligence driven, so that when you go in a court of law, the evidence can stand up to rigorous defense scrutiny and cross-examination, right? And then you have to make sure that the justice system is credible and legitimate, so that people will want to become jurors, more Jamaicans will want to serve as jurors, right? And if it is that the government is serious about fighting crime and about stamping out and about reducing crime in Jamaica, I put it to them that what they should do is make sure the necessary resources are put in place so that the case file on all up to yesterday, I think 29 members of the gang, 29 members have now been arrested, members, right? So make sure that the 29 case files are completed. They're tight. You have all your witness statements in. You have all the relevant evidence, because this is going to be a huge, huge trial. Obviously, they probably will have to split it up. You know what I'm saying, listeners? I don't know. with lots of defense attorneys and prosecuting attorneys and, you know, ego, the attendant egos to go around. So I hope that the government is putting in place through the Ministry of Justice the necessary resources to make sure that to my mind, I don't think it's unreasonable to say by the first week in February, we're ready to go. We're ready to go. Come, trial, quick 3 months. 3 months should be the most. Quick trial, get it moving. Because under the Bail Act, that a lot of people have been advocating for it to be changed, and I hear Bobby Montague talking about touching the Bail Act, and let me state my position: I disagree. I don't think a lot of people under the discretion should not be left into the hands of any politician. It should be left to the discretion of the judge looking at the defendant, the accused rather, in front of him or her, right? Because bail is not punishment. I want you to understand this, listeners. Bail is a promise that the accused will show up to court to answer these charges. And if it is that the judge is satisfied that this defendant or these defendants will turn up, then in most cases bail ought to be granted. Secondly, bail can be used as a controlling device, a means of controlling the movement of the defendant. So certainly you can tell him that as a condition of your bail, you must report to the police station, say Tuesdays and Thursdays. Your passport must be held. You can't leave certain jurisdiction. You can't leave the parish of Clarendon, for instance. You understand what I'm saying? But the point I'm making is it should not be left to any politician. It must be left to the discretion of the judge. And that is my position. I understand the concerns of people on bail re-offending whilst on bail and killing. I understand that. But I put it to the Minister of National Security and the Minister of Justice. Well, I put it to the Holiness Administration that what would be more effective is swifter trials. That is what would be more effective. So you know that this person is charged with murder. In 3 months, 6 months, it's going to trial. It's the trial, depending on the complexities of the case and the kind of evidence that is relied on, right? 3 weeks, 4 weeks, done. I'll put it to you. I was observing, and I can now speak about it because it has come to a conclusion in the Home Circuit Court in downtown Kingston, right? But I was observing a murder matter led by defense counsel Ernest Smith, and the lead prosecutor is deputy director of prosecution Sharon Millwood Moore, and I forget her junior, no disrespect meant. And they were adjudicating seven jurors. They were adjudicating the murder of Stanley McLean, right? And I'm going to give you a synopsis of the case. But I make the point because I'm talking about a speedy trial, right? In 2007, July the 6th, 2007. That's 10 years ago. 10 years. Right? Stanley McLean of Coltart Grove, St. Anne, was viciously set upon by a family of five. Velma Dean, her husband Joseph Dean, and their three sons, Jermaine, Dwight, and Richard Dean. Stanley McLean was of unsound mind. he's schizophrenic. He took medication. Sometimes he didn't. He got off his meds. And they stoned his house to get him out of the house, stoned him. And when he wouldn't come out, they went into the two-room, unfinished board house, and they chopped him. I listened to the testimony. Listeners, it was harrowing. I'm not going to lie to you, right? And on Friday, they were found guilty. All five of them. Can you believe it? A family of five. I won't go into the case itself right now. That's not important. Just to say that this took 10 years. Now, Mr. Audley Stanley McLean, who is the father of the deceased, Stanley McLean, he's a sick man. He's on dialysis. He was on dialysis when he watched helplessly as the Dean family slaughtered his son, and there was nothing he could do about it. And for 10 years, that man held on. Listeners, let me tell you something. He was so weak and frail, he could not sit up in the witness dock. He had to sit on a chair. He had to be helped. And he was walking with a walking stick. He has to have dialysis twice per week, right? And this man waited 10 years for justice for his son. This is unacceptable in any kind of country that wants to have a low crime rate and wants to have a kind of, an integrated, socially cohesive society. One without chaos. One where the rule of law and due process is respected, and the legitimacy and the credibility of the justice system is not in question. It cannot stand. 10 years for justice. In the Ninja Man trial, it was 8 years, right? And it is also not fair on people accused of murder. They'd want to get on with their life and a conclusion to be drawn. So it's not clear. It's not fair for the witnesses, for the victims' families, and the victim if the victim is alive. And it's not fair for the accused. And we must do better. So I put it to the Andrew Holness administration that what they could do as a kind of template to show that trials can be, look on the Vibes Cartel trial, textbook, beautiful, if I could use that word. I'm looking at it from an academic point of view, listeners. It can be done. So kudos to the Jamaica Constabulary Force. I mean, yes, they got a black eye because one of their own was also arrested. But then it's no surprise, you know, that there are members in the JCF that are corrupt. We know this, right? So it is of, you know, it doesn't surprise me, right? Okay, listeners, let me change, not even change gear because it's still on the crime thing, but the issue of crime. But I want to talk about the 200 use cards that were supposed to be delivered to the Jamaica Constabulary Force to help to fight crime. It has not been done. It is very untidy. It's just messy how it was done. And I'm going to tell you what my own thoughts are on it, right? And of course, listeners, you're listening to The Advocate on www.talkjamaicaradio.com/listen. And you may call in on 343-4913 if you're in Jamaica, or 239-444-8161. So let me tell you what my own opinion, my own thoughts are, considered opinion, are on it. Okay. I think the policy of using used cars in the Jamaica, you know, in the fleet, is a sound policy. The policy I have no issue with. As a matter of fact, having said that, I would also want to say, and of course, this has to do with the management level now at the JCF, I would also want to see a proper preventative maintenance system in place. I don't know why GPS is not on the cars. Why is it when they were ordering, couldn't they have said, you know, you have to order it with GPS embedded, and then you have a control, you have a control system. So at any one time, you know where every single truck, bus, or car, every single vehicle that belongs to the Jamaica Constabulary Force is, right? Having said that, I have a problem with how the person who won the bid was selected. I'll tell you why. My understanding of procurement is this. Suppose you're putting in a bid for say, let's use a coaster bus. No, you can't have any color or whatever. You just have to say a 15-seater coaster bus with whatever engine, but you can't be too specific, right? No. When you're considering the bid, right, you do a comparative analysis. So, and it's 15%. So suppose a coaster bus goes for $10 million, right? We're using that. Let's use $1 million easier. A coaster bus goes for $1 million. Any bid outside of 15% more or less than $1 million, so 15% of 1 million is 150,000, right? So anything less than 850,000 or more than say 1.2 million if it's too far out, it would be something that would kind of raise a red flag. And I say that to say, right, listeners, the fact that the bid was so low should have given the procurement director, I don't know if it was a committee that did it, in the Ministry of National Security. I don't know, but should have given them pause, right? Okay, so on the face of it, on paper, O'Brien's International Car Sales was the best option, on paper. But what I wanted, why wasn't any further due diligence done to say, you know what? Let us see if this person, even though they've won the tender, and it shouldn't just stand for O'Brien, it should be across the board, anybody that had gotten. Let's just do our due diligence and check to make sure. Because on paper, you know, you're going to put forward your best foot in, that's all. You want the contract, you know? So because what has, so far, under the contract, O'Brien's is to supply 200 pre-owned vehicles. At a cost of what? I think $4.2 to $6.9 million of our taxpayers' money. The government has already paid 50% of that, and 30 units have so far been delivered. However, 66 is still on the wharf. And the reason why it is because it has some problems to do with the GCT. And the SET that O'Brien's didn't put into their bid tender, and now they're insisting, Customs is insisting it is to be paid, although the first shipment, Customs took it, gave them the 5%, right? No. I see where the Ministry of National Security has called in the bid bonds for O'Brien's. And I see where the Ministry of Finance has said that have said that there's no more moratorium. So what had happened is they wanted the 66 vehicles. So they were saying, you know what, go ahead. Clear the vehicle you have until next year to pay. So it's not that you're not going to pay the duties, you know. It's just that you have a time. There's you have some time to come up with the money. Right? And that is why I say, listeners, it is just a messy affair. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm going to tell you why I think the minister did not didn't tighten up his business. If I'm the Minister of National Security, right, and this is a new policy, this is like my baby, my flagship policy, this is something that I want to show to the Jamaican public that, listen, this is going to cost, this is going to save the taxpayers, say, $200-300 million, using those figures, not cast in stone. I don't know how much I don't have the figures in front of me of what the real cost savings would be to the taxpayers. But certainly there are going to be significant cost savings. Now, if it is that I'm the Minister of National Security and I said to myself, this is my baby, you know, just like how Christopher Tufton has his Jamaica moves and he's going around and trying to upgrade health centers and so that they can take the pressure off the hospitals. And I see a big upgrade going on at Cornwall Regional Hospital as well as the Savannah Lamar Hospital. I would have made sure that everything is done perfectly. And certainly I do understand that the minister is not the one that executes it. He deals with policy, but he has a permanent secretary. And if I'm the minister, my permanent secretary would have to understand that, listen, this is something that has to be executed without any glitches. I don't want to hear any excuses. We have to just make sure it works, right? So I cannot understand now how we are where we are. I expect by the 31st of December that the Jamaica Constabulary Force will have all 200 vehicles. I expect that. And I will wait and see. I do, listeners, before I come off this topic, I do, however, want to say that I agree with two writers earlier this week, or two public commentators. One is Marlon Morgan, who sometimes hosts the Advocate on this radio station, where he says that he writes that we should impose a ban on delinquent contractors, you know, jumping off on the whole issue with the 200 vehicles, with the botched process of procuring the used cars for the police force, right? I do agree with him, and I also agree with the former Prime Minister Bruce Golding, that persons who breach our guidelines should face criminal sanctions. I do agree with it. Because at the end of the day, it is us, the taxpayers, who suffer. Look on the $152 million project at National Heroes Park to build the fence. Right? Given by Black's Brothers, the contract was given by Black's Brothers. 70% completed, despite them missing the completion date, and the completion date being shifted twice to accommodate them. $123 million of our taxpayers' money was paid out to Black Brothers, right? And the fence don't complete yet. It doesn't look impressive. It is just, it's just an ordinary looking fence, and we have to hug it up. So I do agree that penalties must be brought to bear. It cannot be It cannot be that I fork out government taxpayers' money. You're supposed to perform your end of the contract. You have cost overrun. You do it how you want to do it. You don't honor the terms of the contract, and there are no sanctions. That's untenable. So I'm looking forward to legislation or regulation, whichever it is, being put in parliament to effect same, to say that there will be sanctions. Either you're banned for a couple of months or you face criminal sanctions if it's found that you get contract because of fraud. We can't continue like this, listeners. I think it was Wednesday. I want to make sure which day it was, but I think it was Wednesday, right? That I got a WhatsApp message. And the WhatsApp message, I want to make sure when I got it. December, when was December the 6th, listeners? My brain is going, you know. December the 6th, was that Tuesday? At any rate, it was Tuesday, I think it is, that I got a WhatsApp message saying that a massive, massive guns and ammunition find was found in barrels shipped to Jamaica. I'm trying to find it because I want to read it to you. I mean, yes, I know, okay. So this came from US Customs and Border Protection. And they were conducting a routine inspection, identified a shipment containing two blue shipping barrels said to contain personal effects. A physical inspection revealed various food items, cat litter, a cardboard box labeled as a four drawer dresser, and one cardboard box labeled as a television stand. Further investigation revealed that the personal effects actually contained two rifles, 115 pistols, two more rifles, 139 magazines, 103 rounds of 9mm ammunition, and the list goes on and on. I have the name, but I won't obviously repeat it right now, of the consigner from Florida and the consignee. Who, according to multiple media reports, is a former assistant of sitting PNP councillor in Montego Bay, Michael Troop. That's the same Michael Troop who was arrested both for murder, but was not convicted, and was also arrested for illegal possession of firearm, as well as other offenses related to lotter scamming, but was also not convicted. Right? Now, my question is, who? Because I always ask, you know, people send me things or tell me things. The first thing I ask is why? Why are you telling me this? Why are you doing this? Why are you showing me this? What do you have to gain? What's the motive? So I have to ask, what is to be gained, right, by shipping these to Jamaica? Who has so much money to buy so many guns? How many shipments are there? Right? Is it that we get lucky? No, but seriously, listeners, is it that someone is trying to challenge the state? what is it? And then we hear that what the authorities in Florida did was they rewrapped the barrel and everything, shipped it to Jamaica. It was supposed to go on a Caribbean Airlines flight. Shipped it to Jamaica, went to Montego Bay and watched it. Nobody turned up. No. I'm going to ask this question. I really wish I never had to ask it, listeners. But given what we know about some members of the Jamaica Constabulary Force, the question has to be asked. Did members of the JCF know that the authorities from Florida would be watching to see if someone comes to collect, anyone comes to collect the package? Because no one came. And if the answer to that is yes, given what we know about the JCF, the multiple reports of them mixing up in our, them not a mix up in our, isn't it plausible to ask if persons were tipped off not to go to collect the barrels? Excuse me, listeners. Isn't it? Right? You know, listeners, I'm going to read something for you now and ask some questions, right? Amid the mayhem that has claimed more than 300 lives, you know. You see how them people are wicked, Star? Somebody really buy guns, pack it for ship of Jamaica for come kill we off, more than how we are kill off each other. We need to find out is who. Right? Because clearly you must have people inside for clear it. People in our customs and them something that we are look out for it. You must. You know, is which mad person, you know, just ago pack up guns so in a barrel like that and just ship it like that. Eh? It's a whole heap of money we're talking about, you know. Which person you think went to that? They must have their inside person. Right? So amid the mayhem that has claimed more than 300 lives in St. James alone this year, you know, listeners. Last year it was 264. Authorities in the United States have revealed that an arsenal of more than 119 illegal guns and hundreds of assorted rounds of ammunition seized in the state of Florida last month was destined for the Western Jamaica Parish. Right? The shipping documents for the barrels containing weapons indicated that they were to be collected by a female in Montego Bay. And we now know that the PNP, the official PNP statement, is that yes, the person is, according to their PNP counselor, Michael True, a former employee of his. He said that she left his employment 3 months ago. So I'm assuming that the police and both local and international are hot on her trail. Okay? And I'm assuming that they catch her before other persons catch her, so that, and that she is induced, maybe by plea bargaining. We have the plea bargaining act, let's use it, to sing like a canary. We need for no. Right? Then the sender was also a female who resides in Coral Springs. Right? Now, listeners, when I got the information, I told the person this cannot be true. But you know what? Of course it is true. Where me think the guns them come from? They're coming in barrels. They're coming from the different coves and inlets that we have in Jamaica, right? Because it is hard to patrol our coastline. So that is where it is coming from, listeners, right? And there are people in Jamaica who they are so short-sighted and just evil and stupid, and they don't realize that at some point the guns would maybe turn on them and their family members. So, listeners, I'm asking you, if you know something, please say something. We cannot continue like this. I started the top of the hour with breaking news that they shot up a funeral. It's like then they found a body on the roadside. Well, one of a female, another one in Clarendon, another one in Westmoreland. We can't continue like this, listeners. Jamaica, we are bleeding. Something has to give. Uno can't tell me so no no say on a family member shut down. Can't tell me that can't me no say uno no. Right? Is this the Jamaica that you really want to live in? Is this the country that you want your children to grow up with? What? You think so because your man at the area leader that nothing can reach you? Or because your son had a big shot and he might get him scammer money? Where you feel say you're immune? We are all sitting ducks, and it is up to us to take our country back from those thugs that would seek to cause us harm. Right? Listeners, I think I have discussed this crime thing enough. I refuse to be cowed. I refuse to be pessimistic. I refuse to be depressed. It's one Jamaica we have. So guess what? I'm going to go for a break. And when I come back, we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about the economy a little, because we need a little good news after this dark section of the advocate. So soon come back.
But when we day a yard, nothing nice like Jamaica, rosemary, fruit, and banana. Under the tree with a glass of lemonade. Jumping at the river when me ready for bed. No boy can't buy me out, me no foreign.
Ladies and gentlemen, Talk Jamaica Radio and Can't Stop Radio will be merging to form One Radio. It will be a stronger online brand with an even stronger informative, educational, and entertaining programming. Listeners will continue to hear both stations from their respective websites, but effective January 1, 2018, you will listen only via oneradio.link. You can download the app TuneIn and search for One Radio. Listen live via oneradio.link. One Radio, your link to the Caribbean. The Advocate with Andrea D. White is on at a new time. Listen as Andrea leads varying discussions on issues that are relevant to you on her quest to make Jamaica a better place. That's The Advocate with Andrea D. White at a new time, Sunday 6 to 7, starting December 10. Jamaica!
Star Team International, with three locations island-wide, is the place to see for quality car care service. Whether for washing, servicing, tire sales, and more, take your vehicle to Star Team International for the very best service at the most affordable prices. We're located at 1A Caledonia Avenue, Kingston 5, Lot 3, Clarendon Park, Clarendon, and Lot 4, Vista Del Mar, Draxhall, Ojeria, St. Anne. If you're in Kingston and need to access our services, then drive on over and stop by our GB restaurant and enjoy the very best in local cuisine while you wait. Treat your taste buds to delectable meals and refreshing beverages that will keep you coming back for more. Whether for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, make it GB Restaurant, located at 1A Caledonia Avenue, Kingston 5. Check out our bar at each of our three locations and make it your chill spot. That's Star Team International, with three locations in Kingston, Otrias, and Clarendon, and GB Restaurant at our Kingston location. Star Team International and GB Restaurant. Visit us today.
Me love Jamaica, me not sell out. Them try clip we wings, somehow we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica. Rosemary, fruit,
welcome
and banana.
Back, listeners. Welcome to The Advocate, live, streaming to you live on www.talkjamaicaradio.com/listen. I'm your host, Andrea D. White, and we are 11 minutes away from closing. And listeners, I just want to talk a little bit about the economy. There are a couple of stories that caught my attention, and I just wanted to share them with you. The first is this: 174 U.S., let me be clear, U.S. 174.44 million or Jamaican $22 billion offer by the NCB Group to acquire a majority, to buy another 32% or 74.23 million more shares in Guardian Holdings. And what this says, this is, listeners, is that there is confidence in the economy. That's what it says. What happened also with news of the bid is that Guardian Holdings stock shot up 4% on Friday. So, you know, people who own some shares, some stocks and shares in Guardian got a little windfall. I would advise you not, listen, I'm not even going to say advise you, because certainly I'm not a financial advisor or analyst. But if I had stocks in Guardian or NCB at this point, I'm not selling it. I'm holding on to it. You don't see the billions of profits that NCB made the last quarter, right? So basically, you know, what this is happening, you know, is that NCB is emerging now as a major regional player, because Guardian is a huge insurance conglomerate, and then you have NCB. So big up and kudos. I mean, I think that's very good. You know, I see that Digicel, the Digicel Group, has a new CEO. You know, let's just hope that he can turn Digicel into the Digicel that I knew in terms of service and call rates when they just came on the market. That's all I will say about that, right? That's all I will say. Another thing that caught my eye, everybody knows that I believe, it's my considered opinion, that the two ways, sure ways of firing up an economy is through road work and housing and construction, right? I see that the government of Jamaica will be expanding the Constant Spring Road. So from Dunrobin, think of Merle Grove, go right up to Manor Park, from a two corridor to four. So two lanes leading up, two lanes in the opposite direction, 19 million US or 2.5 billion Jamaican dollars. Think about that money in the economy. Certainly, Czech is the one that we're getting the loan from, doing the construction. But a lot of food persons now can have them little cook shack, or the construction workers are going to want, you know, they're going to want to have breakfast and lunch. And if they're going to the night dinner, right, certainly more persons will be employed in the construction sector. Although I see one of the major players bemoaning the fact that there's no a shortage. Can you believe that, listeners? A shortage of skilled workers in the construction sector. So all I wanna know, where things on the wall gonna take up the gun and turn shut up? Or a youth where their secondary school, you know, come out with no subjects, or maybe you come out with four but not now go on. Or maybe you love to be outdoors and you love hard work, male or female. I encourage you to go get the requisite skills at Heart NTA. The training is free. I said free, yes. Go and get it and see if you can become, you know, certified as a roofer or a plumber or a mason or a tiler. You see what I'm saying? A bricklayer, an electrician. Go get yourself certified. Because there are a lot of things happening in the construction sector. Right? I don't even have time to touch the BPO because we're only 6 minutes away. But certainly, the outlook, especially in Kingston and St. Andrew, Clarendon, St. Catherine, Montego Bay. Let me tell you something, man. Me just gonna talk to a couple of my friends and see if we can pool our resources and put up some apartments. I'm serious, listeners. I'm dead serious. Land in the corporate era is now a scarce commodity. This is Denise Williams writing, a contributor for the Business Observer. In and around Montego Bay, a similar situation is occurring. The tourism expansion along the north coast is causing the latter, and in the corporate era, there is urban expansion as the housing stock continues to increase. Some increase in the foreign direct investment is creating expatriate demand for housing, and a steady decline in interest rates is providing new homeowners and investors with an opportunity to enter the market. Enter the market, please, listeners. The growing demand for short-term rental is also putting pressure on existing supplies. Developers are now clamoring for land for both high-density developments as well as commercial build-outs. Land in Kingston 6, which is the main urban center, given its mix of schools and amenities, would be a good buy for anyone wanting to develop or speculate. For those buying land to build a single-family house, a buy in Kingston 6 would be difficult and almost imprudent, as lots are typically priced to developers who can yield a return from higher densities. Stony Hill, Norbrook Heights, and Shawburn Heights still remain attractive for people wanting to purchase a one-third acre lot to build on. But listeners, you see that amount? You know how much I'm going to sell the one-third for? 20 million. So brace yourselves. Outside of the corporate area, Hellshire Heights is another option for those who don't have an issue with the commute but want the suburban feel with waterfront access. For the developers, one key indicator is to determine where new public sewage lines are being installed, as generally the allowable building density will increase. For purchasers wishing to buy single-family homes, there are still opportunities to buy into communities without directly competing with developers who are prepared to bid higher prices. Hope Pastors, Mona, Havendale, Manningsill, Constance Spring are some of the areas that remain attractive. The point is, listeners, you see, 2018, when Ruthven Road, when NHT starts to put up their Ruthven Road mix of townhouse and apartments, and remember, listeners, that the NHT is prepared to lend you the full 100% cost of the units. So if a townhouse is selling for 17 million, once you can afford the highest interest rate that NHT has now, if you're a public sector worker, I think it's 4%. But once you can afford to pay back that $17 million, your salary, then, and you're a first-time homeowner, of course, then you qualify, you can buy one. Get in the game. The economy in the next 3 years, I'm here to tell you the economy is going to be red hot. I'm very encouraged. I remain optimistic, right? So I ask you to get in the game, because I am getting into the game. I'm telling you from now, it would be stupid of me not to. If you know, you have a group of friends, maybe six of you, and you have cars or you have some money saved up, see if you can find something in Vineyard Town or Havendale, but make sure you do your work, homework, to make sure that you will get the approval for apartments or townhouses. You know what I'm saying? If it's 6-0, put up 12 units, everybody all two. I want to start from there. But do something. Be a part of Jamaica. Be a part of the change. Remember, listeners, as I close, personal responsibility, personal duty, but one Jamaica, and we can make Jamaica a better place. I believe that. I know that. So until you hear my voice again, this is Andrew D. White, your advocate. One love, Jamaica love. Blessings.
Under the tree with a glass of lemonade, jumping at the river when me ready for paid. No boy can't buy me out, me no foreign minded, no way compared to Jamaica.